We continue this Sunday in the book of Acts, and this Sunday the passage allocated is Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
It's good to see you all this morning. I don't know whether anyone here has ever read comics. Been into comics. Well, when I was about 10, I was really into comics. Now, you might look at me and you might think, "Oh, Jackie, maybe. Mandy. Tammy. That kind of comic?" No. No. Beano. Dandy. Whizzer and Chips. And my personal favourite, Buster. Because it had X-ray specs in. And if you don't know who X-ray Specs was, X-ray Specs could see through things. How cool is that? So I used to get Buster every week. It was my treat. I would go down the local shop, which was Lavelle's in the village, and I would buy Buster, 20 pence, take it home, read it. Well, one day I went down local shop, picked up Buster and saw special summer edition of Buster just behind it. I thought, bargain. 40 pence, I can get two of them. So I picked them up, got them together, walked around, looked for sweets, couldn't find any, went to the counter, put my Buster comic down on the counter. The woman looked at it, typed in the money, 20 pence, please. I looked down, I thought, there's two, that should be 40. But then as I looked, I'd lined them up so neatly, it looked like there was just one. To my shame, I handed her the 20 pence. She said, "Thank you." I picked up the comics, trying not to disturb them, and I walked towards the door. And as I walked towards the door, I got that feeling. You know, the tingling up and down the spine, the hot and cold sweats, the increased pulse rate, the feeling that everyone in the shop was staring at me. Thief! As I naturally strolled towards the door with my comic. I remember walking out the door, over the grass, across the street, just waiting for the hand on my shoulder. "You're under arrest for shoplifting. Return the Buster comic and put your hands up." You know, I imagined sirens, handcuffs, stairs, questions, a cold cell, and then a phone call home. saying that I'd stolen. I was 10 years old. I'd stolen something. And it was a horrible moment because everyone knew that stealing was wrong. So I just hoped against hope that I wouldn't get caught, because somehow that made it all right. I don't know. And you know, as I stand here today, I don't really believe that that opinion has changed. For instance, if I were to pose the question to all of you, do you think stealing is right or wrong? I'm sure the resounding response would be that it's wrong. There might be a bit of discussion, you know, about different situations. There might be leniency from some, or there might be a different range of opinions. But when pushed to give a definite answer about this, I'm sure that most, if not all of us, would say that stealing was wrong. But if I were to ask you the question, well, what should the punishment be if someone were to steal? I'm sure our responses would be a lot less clear, based on our experience, our upbringing, what the situation was, the latest book we'd read, how we felt this morning. I'm sure we get a whole range of answers to that question. But I imagine that many people here wouldn't say that the punishment for stealing should be instant death. There might be some of us, but for many, we would say, well, that's just too harsh. Way too harsh. And yet here in this passage, in the Bible, in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, tucked away among stories of healing, great speeches, and wonderful works of the Holy Spirit, is a quite terrifying story of a couple who stole and found the consequences to be instant death. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's a story you read only once and you don't really forget it. The couple that embezzled their own money and ended up dying as a result. In the middle of a book which describes the excitement of the early church, this story is very sobering. And yet, in the middle of a book that describes the excitement of the early church, this story is actually very fitting as well. You see, Ananias and Sapphira weren't just a devious couple. You know, people who thought, well, we'll mess around with a bit of money, or people who thought they could see what they could get away with, or people who thought, oh, we'll take this young church for a ride and see what we can do. No, Ananias and Sapphira were a couple who were deeply challenged to change. They were a couple who at some point had come into contact with something new, something radical, something different, something counter to the culture. They'd come into contact with the church of God, following what had happened at Pentecost. And when they'd come into contact with this church, they'd seen the wonder of a people who were totally transformed by God. We too have looked at this over the past few weeks and months. A people who were passionate for Jesus. A people who were challenged by injustice. A people who were full of the power of God. A people who actually wanted to change, whatever it took. And Ananias and Sapphira came into contact with this. And they were obviously impressed. In fact, they were so impressed that they decided to change too. They decided to join this group, to become part of this movement, to become followers of Jesus. And who wouldn't? As we've seen, things were happening. Things were changing. The kingdom of God had come. It was impressive. But it seemed that what impressed Ananias and Sapphira the most was the radical way in which these people cared. The radical way in which they cared not only about themselves, but about each other. As we read last week, all the believers were one in heart and mind. There was no needy person among them. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. These radical Christians, as they were called, really cared, and they showed it with what they had, with what they owned. And it seems to me that Ananias and Sapphira wanted to care too. They wanted to be part of this. They wanted to be seen to be doing what they thought was right. They clearly had a bit of money. I mean, they were able to sell a piece of property, and they clearly knew what to do with it because they bought most of the money and they put it at the apostles' feet. Interestingly, almost an exact copy of Barnabas in the previous chapter that we read last week, who sold a field that he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And you know, when I read this passage, I imagine in my mind Barnabas bringing his money to the apostles. And I imagine, you know, how excited the people were when they saw this. How pleased they were to see someone giving. How they saw this man Barnabas as a great follower, giving what he had. Here was Barnabas, son of encouragement, bringing what he had to share with the community. What a great gesture. So one verse later, when Ananias appears with the same gesture, I imagine again how people would have wanted to be excited, how they would have wanted to be pleased, how they would have seen this man as another great follower. Here was Ananias selling his property and sharing the money with others. But instead, as Ananias bought his money and placed it at the apostles' feet, as Barnabas before him, he doesn't receive accolades. He doesn't get any thanks. He isn't acknowledged for doing something good. Instead, quite unexpectedly, he is accused. He's accused of keeping money back. He's accused of lying to the Holy Spirit. He's accused of lying to God. And as he steps away from placing his gift at the apostles' feet, he drops down dead. What a shock. What a different outcome. But then what's even more shocking is that 3 hours later, not knowing what had happened, his wife Sapphira turns up. Now you can imagine, her husband had left that day to deliver this wonderful gift to this small community. She'd gone off to do a bit of window shopping or hard labour, not sure which, imagining in her mind what the community were doing as her husband gave that gift. So she merrily turns up 3 hours later, expecting a greeting from the apostles. And after three verses, she too is dead, buried beside her husband. Is it any wonder the whole community was filled with fear? Is it any wonder people were scared? I mean, you wouldn't want to give a gift, would you? You might walk in one door and be carried out the next. This new church, this radical community, the kingdom of God, had suddenly become quite a scary place to be. But why? Why had it become scary? Why had this happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Why, when things had been going so well? Was it simply because they kept some of their own money? Was it simply because they didn't want to give all that they had at that time? Well, I don't think so. You see, I think the reason that they died, the reason that they'd been carried out that day and buried together, was not because they'd stolen, not because they'd embezzled, not because they'd kept something back, but because they had lied. Because they had lied. They had lied about what they had done. They had lied about what was going on in their lives. You see, the problem in this tragic story, it's not that Ananias and Sapphira couldn't give everything they had. The problem was that Ananias and Sapphira had been dishonest. Now you might think, well, that's still a bit harsh. I mean, we all hide things now and again. What difference does it make, especially if it's your own property? It doesn't hurt anyone to lie about something that's yours. It reminds me a little, not a lot, but a little, of when I was in the infant school. We had a reading scheme. I don't know whether they do them anymore, but there was bronze-spined books, silver-spined books, or gold-spined books. And the aim, before you left the infant school, was to get to the gold-spined books, because then you can progress on to the big reading. Now, what you had to do for this was you had to obviously read through the bronze, then you had to read through the silver, and then, in my infant school, you had to learn to read without saying the words out loud. So you had to read in your head. Don't know whether you ever remember not reading in your head, but I do. And I couldn't do this. I could read the books out loud, but I got stuck when I had to read it in my head. I didn't understand how people looked at the words and they didn't open their mouth and they still could understand what the story was. It just didn't make sense to me. And it was the last week of infant school and I was still on the silver spine books. Everyone else was on the gold spine. I say everyone, that was probably a child's everyone. There's probably quite a few of us on the silver spine. But I sat there. And I had this one reading afternoon to learn to read in my head. And as I sat there, my friend turned to me and she went, "You don't have to do it, you know." And I said, "What do you mean?" She went, "Well, you don't have to really do it." She said, "I'll tell you what the story is. You just sit there for a little bit looking at the book, pretending that you're taking the story in, and then you can pass." And I said, "Okay." She went, "Well, the story's about a little girl called Alice, and she gets told off because she's done something wrong." I said, "Okay." So I sat there with my mouth shut, looking at the book, making sure the teacher could see me. Mouth shut, looking at the book. And then I went up to the teacher, Mrs. Dean. She always sucked cough sweets. And I went up to her and I said, "I finished the silver spine." And she said, "Well, Kate, that's very good. I did see you reading without opening your mouth. What's the story about?" I said, "Oh, it's about a girl called Alice and she lied, did something wrong, maybe, could have lied." She said, "Oh, really? And what happened when she could have lied?" I said, "Well, she got told off." "And where did she get sent, Kate?" "To prison." And Mrs. Dean looked at me and she said, "Kate, it's clear that you haven't taken the story in and you haven't read it. So much as I would love to put you onto the gold spine books, you're going to have to stay on silver spine." So I went into the juniors on the silver spine books. Never achieved my goal. You see, my dishonesty prevented me from learning. My dishonesty prevented me from developing. It prevented me from getting to the gold spine books. My dishonesty stopped me from growing. And you know, here in Acts 5, in a time when the resurrection of Jesus was fresh in people's minds, in a time when the believers were focused on him and walking in his footsteps, in a time when the Holy Spirit was available to all people, here in Acts 5, when everything was new, when the church of God was seeking to emerge from its culture, honesty was so important. Because you see, without honesty, the people in that church couldn't learn. Without honesty, the believers couldn't allow God's Spirit to move in their life. Without honesty, the church couldn't possibly develop into the body that God wanted it to be. So when Ananias and Sapphira placed their gift at the feet of the apostles, it wasn't that God was displeased. It wasn't that he wanted them to give everything they had, whether they were ready or not. It wasn't that he was asking them to give more money. It wasn't that he was setting a standard of giving. It wasn't that God was demanding people live in a certain way or else. It was simply that God was calling them to be honest. Honest about what they had. Honest about their condition. Honest about their heart. And most of all, honest about their lives before their God. Because only when they were honest Could God show them his grace and enable them to grow? And you know, today, here in our community of God, where we seek to grow together, I believe this passage has a lot to say to us. Not the fact that if you lie, you die. We don't want to take that away with us. But the fact that if we really desire to grow with God, we also need to be brutally honest before him as well. I mean, let's face it. It's so tempting to be like Ananias and Sapphira, isn't it, at times? So tempting to try and make our lives look good. So tempting to pretend that in coming to church we offer all we have to God. So tempting to put on a facade, to try and be what we think everyone else should be. I don't know, maybe we say amen in all the right places. Maybe we use the right language. Maybe we try to fit in. Or we try to stand out. I don't know. It's so tempting, though. So tempting to try to be what we think we should be. And it's so tiring. And it's so pointless. And it's so dishonest. Dishonest before others. And dishonest before God. Because, you know, the God we worship today really isn't an overly demanding God. He really isn't a stickler for things to be just so all the time. He isn't cold or distant or harsh or uncaring. He isn't a God we have to put on a show for or we have to hide from. The God we worship today, well, yes, he is a holy God. But he's also a gracious God, a faithful God, a forgiving God. He's our Father. And he longs for us to grow in him. So the best thing we can do is to be honest at where we stand before him. Do you know the truth is, in all honesty, I don't know why Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead when they lied. I don't know why what happened to them was so harsh. I don't know, and actually, I don't think anyone else really knows either. But what I do know is that today, as in Acts 5, God loves us passionately. What I do know is that today, as in Acts 5, God wants the very best for us. What I do know is that today, as in Acts 5, God longs for us to grow, to develop, to become what he intended us to be. Because as in the book of Acts, he longs for us to truly live as his church, which permeates the world. He longs for us to show the kingdom of God to others. But I also know that the only way we're going to do this is if we're honest. Honest with God and honest with each other. And we may find that a bit scary. We may think we're nothing compared to others. But if we have the courage to present ourselves in all honesty before God, we'll put ourselves in a place where we can grow. And with God's help, we will grow. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you love us, your church, that you love us, your people here. I want to thank you that you loved your believers in Acts 5. And you know, it's really hard to read that passage and to sit there and go, well, why? Why did they have to die? And we don't really understand that. But Lord, we thank you for the message that if we come to you in all honesty with our lives, some of us with the lies we feel are broken, some of us with the lives we feel are no good, if we come to you, and place all we have before you. You will receive us. And by your grace, you'll help us to grow and develop and change. Father, I thank you for the promise that you are a gracious God. You are slow to anger. And you are so quick to forgive us. But Lord, please help us to take the step to place our lives before you, to be honest before you, and to be honest with each other, that we can grow together as your people, that people might see your kingdom alive in us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.